This is episode 301 of Jumble Think.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Jumble Think, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers to hear the stories behind their ideas and dreams. Along the way, we're going to share some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality, too. Today kicks off a very special themed week all about the world of real estate. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, if you've never subscribed to Jumble Think, you should go do it right now. So head on over to your favorite place to listen to podcasts, search for Jumble Think, and click subscribe. To make it even easier, if you head on over to jumblethink.com, you can find links to some incredible places where you can listen to our show. Now let's jump into today's conversation. Hey there, welcome to Jumble Think. My name is Michael Woodward. I am your host, and we have a really cool show lined up for you today. Before we jump into that, if you're noticing a little weirdness with my voice in the intro, I've got this crazy cold. My nose is stuffed up. My throat's all a little froggy. I think I can go down an octave lower. Anyway, you won't hear that in the episode. Today's episode was recorded at PodMax, which is this really cool event in Trenton, New Jersey, hosted by On Air Brands. Really excited to partner with them. They have another event coming up in February. You can check them out by going on over to podmax.co. It's all about entrepreneurship and ideas and dreams and people turning those dreams into reality. Really cool event. So if you're an entrepreneur, if you have ideas and dreams that you want to share, you should go check out what they're doing, podmax.co. This last PodMax event was really unique because all of the people coming in from around the country were focused on a singular topic around the world of real estate. And that's a lot of fun to get to sit down and talk to people approaching real estate investing, buying properties, how it impacts their family, and how they're taking those dreams and ideas that they have and using real estate as a vehicle to really make them happen. What I've decided to do is we're releasing 5 of the 6 episodes this week, and we're going to do them one each day. Today is Monday. It's our first episode in this themed week. We did interview one other entrepreneur at the event. I really loved that conversation. It was with Alex Felice. We already released that episode a couple episodes ago. You should go check that out, especially if you love the rest of these conversations. You're really going to love that conversation with Alex Felice. Now, today's conversation is with Cassidy Burns. Cassidy believes real estate is a tool for the long term. When working with clients, whether they are first-time homebuyers, developers, or a long-term buy and hold investor, he has one mission: to help you prepare for the future. For most individuals, their home is the biggest and best asset in their portfolio, and he wants to make sure you are making the best decision possible. Let's go ahead and join the conversation with today's guest, Cassidy Burns.
Hey, this is Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and you're about to hear another episode that was recorded here at PodMax, an awesome experience for entrepreneurs to get on top-rated shows all in one day. I hope you enjoy.
We're here with Cassidy Burns at PodMax. Cassidy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it. It's a pleasure.
We got a lot to talk about in the short time we have, and so we're going to just dive right into this. I want to hear a little bit about your backstory of how you got into what you're doing.
I am a Washington, D.C. real estate agent with Compass right now, and I first started, I'm from Southwest Virginia, okay. Southwest Virginia, small town, and I first started my first job out of college was as a personal trainer at Equinox in Bethesda.
Yeah.
And I leveraged relationships to meet a broker that decided to hire me on his real estate team, and that's kind of where I've gotten why I'm here.
Yeah. How do you go from personal training into the world of real estate? That seems like a pretty big leap.
Yeah, so I would leverage relationships, really. It's so when you're personal training, it's very, very similar to selling real estate. It's
okay.
You have to build rapport with people, make connections, and make friends. And that's really what I did with a lot of my clients. And that Equinox Bethesda is the gift that keeps on giving to me, because those relationships still continue to pay off.
Yeah, we talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, we talk to actors, we talk to Olympians, and it fascinates me when they first got the the itch, the burden, the affinity to whatever they're doing. So for you, were you always entrepreneurial as a kid? How did you kind of find this path? Because a lot of people don't find that.
Yeah, so that's a funny story. So my hometown in Clifton Forge, Virginia, jobs aren't very plentiful, right? And especially for a 16-year-old kid, or when I was 14 years old, they don't hire you at the local McDonald's. There's not many places to work. So I had to find ways to make money. And I
creative.
Yeah, so I had to be creative. So what I did was I went to TJ Maxx in Roanoke, Virginia, and I purchased a pair of hair clippers.
Okay.
And I started cutting hair for $2 a pop.
Wow.
And I did that all through high school. So I was cutting hair. I was selling CDs. So I'd make mixtapes and sell CDs to people.
Yeah.
And also I got into the business of car flipping as well. So
what's that mean, car flipping?
Yeah. So I'd buy cars at wholesale value. I'd drive them for about 9 months and then I'd sell them for more and roll it into another car.
So you're not actually fixing up the car while you're doing that, are you?
No, I'm not. No, okay. I'm actually probably making it, I'm depreciating the value as, you know, as a 16-year-old kid drives a little bit too fast, right? So, but yeah, so I would buy a car at, I did research on what the value of it is. Yeah. It's very similar to real estate.
Yeah. So buy low, sell high.
Buy low, sell high, or at least sell at market.
So it sounds like you have some love of cars there.
I do like cars, yes.
What's your favorite car?
Yes, I'm a truck guy. So I just made a pretty big investment, and I'm using that investment to pay for a Ford Raptor, which I'll be buying in the beginning of 2020. So depreciating asset, yes, but sometimes you have to eat the cake every once in a while.
Sometimes it's more about passion than the actual financial reward.
Agreed.
Right? I understand that. Yes, absolutely. And cars can be a good investment. Trucks
can be. Yeah,
both can.
I'll be able to write it off through my business, so that's nice. I definitely have thought about that.
All right, so you are in this little town in Virginia.
Okay.
Not a lot of jobs there. Find creative ways, starting cutting hair and then flipping vehicles and all of that. How did it continue to grow for you? Because you had the option to say, hey, I'm out of here. I'm going to go get a career. And yet you chose to say, you know what? I'm going to build my own path here. Why did you continue down that journey?
So I like freedom. I like working for myself. And I also like helping people and being able to have this open road of which way I want to go. Mm-hmm. And I just decided to keep going down that entrepreneurial spirit. Now, yes, I did. When I went and worked at Equinox Bethesda, I was working for the man, right, every day, but also in the sense of I made my own schedule.
Okay.
If I wanted to make more money, I had to do more training sessions, right? And it really, so that to me was the entrepreneurial side as well. So I was in control of my income, which I really, really appreciate. And also the most important thing, in control of my time.
Right. Why is that so important to you?
Time is the one thing that you can't buy.
Okay.
Right? So I want to be able to hang out with family. I want to be able to see my friends. I want to be able to spend time with my children down the road and go to every Little League game. So that's very, very important to me.
So you're building a lifestyle or a business around what fulfills the life that you want to paint, the picture of how you should live.
Yeah. So I listened to a podcast. It was a Rod Cleef podcast. He's a big multifamily investor, and he had this goal setting workshop that he did. You should definitely check it out. I highly recommend it. I don't have the episode, but I'm sure we'll put it in the links.
Okay.
But so what he did was he started backwards, right? So you start with what your 5, 10, 20 year plan is, and you write it all down. Get it on paper. Start backwards. What do you want your house to look like? What car do you want to have in your garage? How does your schedule work out? And to me, I did that, and I worked backwards, and then that is what has made me do what I do. What I'm doing today is for the 40-year-old Cassidy Burns.
Yeah. There's a great ancient word. I think it's Hebrew. It's called achrit, which means the end result of your actions. To think of the end when you start.
Wow.
And I think that's such a valuable tip that you just shared, that many people, they're just trying to survive. They're trying to get to the next day, that they're responding instead of actually building the life they want. And so I applaud you for taking a different approach, taking a different way, and saying, you know what, I'm gonna actually be proactive about going to where I want to go instead of just kind of hoping that I get somewhere.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I love that your story is one of creativity and solving problems along the way. When you approach a problem like you've shared here, no jobs, find a way to do it, how do you kind of process the kind of things that you could do?
And that's definitely a flaw of mine. Okay. I definitely have the little gold. I chase the gold nugget, right? If I okay. see something, and I'm a visionary, so yeah. I have this grand idea, go after it, right? But sometimes that doesn't solve the problem that's at hand, right?
Right.
So a lot of times it's just staying on track, knowing, looking at that goal sheet that I made, and yeah. saying, okay, what for me to resolve this problem? How is resolving this problem going to be? One, what actions am I going to take? And two, how is it going to affect my real goal?
Yeah.
Right. So making sure that I'm staying on track with all of those little minute decisions and problem solving skills, and it keeps me on track with saying, okay, I'll make this decision and I'm going to solve this problem because of this. Makes it a lot easier to handle.
So all good. Get how you get from where you've been to where you are in the journey up to the personal trainer. How did you find that career of real estate? Because that, like I mentioned, it seems like a big jump. What was your introduction to real estate?
Yeah, so real estate originally was just the house that I grew up in. Right?
Okay.
It's a roof over a head.
Yeah.
And my family were not real estate investors or yeah. didn't really know anything about real estate. But again, when I was a personal trainer, I leveraged my relationships. And luckily, one of my clients said to me one day, he said, Cassidy, why are you selling personal training packages? You should be selling something that makes you more money.
Yeah.
And then that's when that light bulb clicks.
Mm.
It's like, wow, maybe he's right. And he said, if you get your real estate license, I will hire you on my team.
Wow.
And I said, okay, I'll do that. So I took the course, the 60-hour course, while I was still training. So I did not stop that training, and it actually made me more motivated to make more money because I knew that I was going to be now saving for this.
Yeah.
So, and then also, luckily, Trent said, but the caveat is your first transaction must be your own. So he said, I want you to buy your place first as your first transaction. And that completely changed my mind and changed my life.
There is this question for many people of, does what you do have to fulfill passions in your own life? So are you passionate about doing real estate? Are you passionate about the end result of what doing real estate does for you?
I would say I'm not passionate about selling real estate, but I'm passionate about helping about my clients changing their lives through real estate.
Yeah.
So I don't think of myself as a real estate agent or even as a salesperson.
Yeah.
I'm more of a wealth manager by using real estate through low money down for the people that don't understand, right? I mean, the key is you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So how can I educate these people, my potential clients, on the benefits of owning real estate and the how-tos, right? A lot of times it's just not knowing how.
Yeah.
So selling real estate is great, but I like the end goal of how can it help them down the road.
Yeah, so good. We're going to pivot towards the end of this first segment. And the first question we always ask as we wrap up this segment is, how are you finding purpose in what you're doing? And you shared a little bit of that just a moment ago, but go a little bit deeper on that. How are you finding purpose in what you do? How does it fulfill you?
Yeah, so again, I told you that the most valuable thing to me is time, is having time and having freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So one, with my free time, I'm allowing myself to donate time to Big Brother, Big Sister, right?
Yeah.
That's one organization that I'm really, really involved in. And it's been great because I think that children need opportunity, especially people that are born into situations that maybe they're not as gifted or blessed as some or most of us.
Yeah.
So I want to give back my time to help kids like that. And that's really where I'm pivoting my career now, is making sure that I am giving as much as I possibly can of my time.
Mm.
Because sometimes if you can't give money, you have to give time.
Right. We're all facing challenges in our business and our lives. What's one challenge you're currently working to overcome?
Yes, this is great. So I'm actually reading the book Rocket Fuel currently.
Not familiar with that one.
It's a great book.
Okay.
Well, I'm halfway through. So
all right.
The first half is great. And it talks about visionary versus integrator.
Okay.
I am a visionary, like I said.
I resonate with that.
Yes, I create the ideas. I have these big ideas. But sometimes putting the systems into place and getting the work done is the largest challenge for me.
Yeah.
So right now I'm looking for my integrator, right?
Yeah.
I need somebody that's going to – I innovate. I need them to integrate and implement, right? So that's definitely the biggest challenge, is doing the bookkeeping, doing the small, minute daily tasks.
What's the next big dream, idea, goal you have?
It's a good question. I want to, so I write this down every day, and I want to speak in front of 30,000 people.
Like at one shot or
at
just?
At one shot.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
okay.
I want to speak. And now podcast, yes, this is a very easy way to do this, right? But I want to speak at an event in front of 30,000 people and teach, educate, and give them a message. That's my big, big end goal.
Yeah.
But it really, short term, it's to help as many children as I possibly can.
Okay.
Right? And give them opportunity.
We're going to be right back with Cassidy Burns. We're going to go deeper into the world of real estate and how you can actually have a strategy for your own life and what that might look like for you. We'll be right back.
I hope you are enjoying our conversation with Cassidy Burns. There is much more to this conversation, so hang tight. We'll be right back with that. But I want to remind you real quick, this is just episode number 1 of 5 for our special themed week all around the world of real estate. All of these episodes recorded at PodMax, super fun event, and we're going to be sharing each of these every day. So head on over to your favorite place to listen to podcasts, subscribe to JumboThink, and make sure you don't miss any of these episodes. Now let's jump back into the conversation with Cassidy Burns. We are back with Cassidy Burns. Before we dive into the segment, this is where you get to tell us how to find and connect with you.
Yes, so I do a lot of Instagram and YouTube are going to be my two main platforms, and then Facebook as well. But my Instagram name is going to be Cassidy R. Burns, and we do a lot of educational pieces through stories, and also I have a cute little Rottweiler puppy named Knox if you would like to see photos of her. And then also follow my YouTube channel as well. We're doing daily vlogs on what it is to be a real estate agent, how to invest in real estate, and also just anything Washington, D.C., and that is Cassidy Burns as well. So Cassidy R. Burns on Instagram and Cassidy Burns on YouTube.
If you're listening, you know the deal. You can find the links right in the episode notes. We make it easy so you don't have to remember those things. Just check right below, probably wherever you're listening or watching or whatever you're doing. Go check that out. Click on those links and check out Cassidy. We have a lot to talk about. I know some people listening aren't going to be like, yay, real estate. But there's going to be a lot of good messages, a lot of good practical tips they can apply to whatever they're doing in chasing their own dreams and ideas. So first off, I want to know, why should people think about real estate as a vocation, but even beyond a vocation, as an opportunity for their lives?
So, and I'm... This goes for all markets. Every market's going to be a little bit different. Washington, D.C. is going to have a higher price point than Clifton Forge, Virginia. So we all need a place to live, right? We all need a roof over top of our head. We all need clean water. We need piping that's going to bring that water. So if you're going to be paying on a monthly basis rent, might as well start paying yourself. And I love this quote by Warren Buffett. And they say, Warren, why are you so wealthy? He's living in America. Some good genetics and compounded interest. And compounded interest to me is just time, right? Time invested, right? Yeah. So the sooner you buy, the sooner you get to start that third compounded interest.
You, in the first segment, were telling us about how the first deal you did was for your own house. Is that a good place for people to start?
100%. I think it's the easiest place for people to start as well because you can bring, for that house, my personal experience, I used an FHA loan and purchased it with 3.5% down.
Yeah.
So it was a $510,000 condo that I spent $17,500 on. And it has completely changed my life because I have a place to live. I'm no longer paying anyone else. I'm paying myself. And also I have roommates that are helping me pay the mortgage as well. So yes, primary residence, using that low money down, because not everybody has 20%. Not everybody can buy with cash.
Right. For a lot of people, they go, okay, I've bought my own house, but I don't have a lot of cash on hand. Can I even get into real estate past my own house?
Yes, you can, but you do need cash, right? But you have to be creative, right? Okay. Just like we talked about earlier with my haircuts and my car flipping, there is a way. You just have to be creative and try to educate yourself first, right? I would say before you buy a place, educate yourself, right? And that's going to be key, or find someone that can help you with the educational piece, right? So yes, you can buy another unit, but it may take a little time, right? So, but you can't buy two without buying one.
Let's talk about different kinds of real estate investment and what they may look like and the ones that you specifically focus on.
Okay. So I hate the word buying a deal. I don't like when you say, when somebody comes to me as a client and says, I want to get a good deal.
Right.
Well, what is a good deal, right? Is a good deal to you cheaper, right? Because sometimes that cheaper does not always mean better.
Right.
I like to rephrase and say, let's buy value, right? And when I say value, I mean buy something that is going to long-term, short-term, the numbers are going to work in both scenarios.
Right. So that's a good deal versus a value deal.
Yes.
And a lot of people are always trying to hustle to figure out how they can save pennies, which cost them dollars in the end. Yep. And I think this can apply whether it's to real estate or to other places. We talked earlier about thinking about the end and how you get there, the dreams, the ideas, the place you want to arrive at 10, 15, 20 years down the road. It's hard sometimes to have the insight and foresight to know which deals are value deals or good deals and how to navigate that. So what are some of the tools people can start using to filter, whether it's specifically to real estate or other places in their life, to say, how do I go beyond guessing and start making decisions that set up myself for value deals that are going to bring good returns?
Great question. Yes. So first, location, 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 right?
Okay.
Buy somewhere that you want to live. Mm-hmm. If you want to live there, you feel comfortable living there, someone else probably will down the road.
Okay.
In that terms, it gives you an exit strategy of you can resell. You can turn it into a rental. There's value there in the location.
Well, I want to pause you here. There's a lot of good stuff you're saying here, but you know, we're talking about value deals being a long-term investment and compounding that interest of what you've invested. How long are we talking about here? Are we talking investments that are like 2 years, 5 years, 200 years? What is an investment that is a value deal that can compound for you?
Yes. So I always recommend people, if you're buying a primary residence with 3 to 10% down, you should not have in the plan to sell within 2 years.
Okay.
With recordation taxes and closing costs and all the such, you're going to break even, right? And that's not why we buy real estate. You can just rent if you wanted to, if you were going to do that.
Yeah.
But in terms of value, you're going to buy something that you're paying yourself, the principal, right? You have potential appreciation because of the location, right? You have these tax write-offs that's going to help you with that as well, right? And eventually down the road, because we analyzed that deal and we bought value up front, we now know that this particular property will rent for this particular amount of rent, which covers the rent and or surplus, which is your cash flow.
Well, and that's the other thing is that we think about the exit sometimes and we forget what's in the middle.
Yes.
There are ways to generate revenue that actually bring value back to you that aren't about the exit. They're about today. So talk to us about like the difference of making value deals based on the return, the residuals, if you will, versus the long term and how to balance the two.
Yeah, and so, I mean, when you buy real estate, you have that principal pay down every single month, right?
Yeah.
So depending on the purchase price, it's typically 25 to 40% during the length of that loan. So every month, that money that you are paying on a monthly basis is going into your pocket, essentially. You're parking in this asset, which is 123 ABC Street, right? So you have that cash right there that is being, it's forced savings, right? So you're taking your money every month, putting it away for eventually, again, we can talk, you have that exit strategy, right?
Yeah.
You have that forced savings.
All right, so when you're talking about real estate investment in your model, and I want to hear more about your specific model next, but when you're talking about real estate investment, are you talking just houses? Are you talking condos? Are you talking duplexes? You're talking commercial? Are you talking all of it? Some of it? None of it? What are you talking about?
Yes. So it depends on the market, right? Okay. So in Washington, D.C., I own 2 condos.
Okay.
Right? Some people don't like condos because of condo fees, but I think it's the cost of doing business, and it was the only asset at my time and in my cash position that I could get into. Mm. So for me, it was better to purchase then than to wait, right? Until I could buy that duplex, that quadplex, and then eventually those larger multifamily, which is a lot of real estate investors want to do, right? But the key is you need to do and buy what is going to fit your strategy and your financial picture.
But mostly you're talking residential.
Residential, yes.
Okay.
And I own a commercial building as well. But that's not feasible for some people, right?
Yeah.
So you have to, again, goes back to buy what is going to fit your strategy and get you to that end goal that we already wrote down earlier.
So talk to us a little bit about your model and what the steps are in your model.
Okay, so I sell D.C. real estate, right? So I own two properties in Washington, D.C., but then I also own 43 units that are cash flowing properties. So I've purchased a 32 unit, a duplex, and a quadplex, and those are my cash flowing assets. But I was not able to do those until I owned that first property.
There's a lot that you're sharing here that's really, really good. What is the one lesson along this journey of real estate that you would want to share to save somebody from a headache, a pain point, a failure?
I would say that the more that you educate yourself, the less you are going to make that mistake, right? And we all make mistakes. We're people, right? I've made mistakes. Everyone in this room has made a mistake, right? Yeah. So just make sure that you educate yourself enough to where you feel comfortable when you do make that decision. So the key is educate, 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 read one more book than you thought you had to.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your dream property?
My dream property is a row home, a brick with brick facade with a lower level unit in Washington, D.C., probably on Swan Street.
Okay.
Four bedrooms, three bathrooms upstairs, one bedroom, one bath downstairs to help mitigate the income, walkable to all shops, parking slab in the back, and a private roof deck.
Yeah. Nice. Mine is Soho in New York City.
Okay.
Or the Village. Either a multi-unit, like maybe a four or five story.
Okay.
Or a little small, what they call carriage house, where it used to be a carriage house and there's a house above it and stuff. I'd love to have a little place up there that had a little venue where you could do some cool concerts and people could rent the first floor out for that.
That's
kind of
great
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of money. That's like $14-15 million easy to enter in, and more like 30 or 40 for a lot of those Soho Greenwich
Soho
Village.
Soho Greenwich Village, yes.
But so if you have any strategies for that, help me out with that.
My advice would say you can't buy that one until you buy your first one, right?
That's
or
right.
your second one. So that's.
What do you do when you invest poorly and you have a property that's a noose, a death hold on you?
And I have one right now that comes to mind. 420 East Mallow Road, and this property has had every problem that you can imagine, and I think eventually with the rain, it's on a hill, it's gonna roll off the hill, right? The water, the
just
rain.
Get really good insurance.
Just gotta get good insurance. And the key for me is I have to make the best of it, right? Because it's not losing me money, but it's not making me money, but it's taking what my most important thing is my time, right? So yeah, I shouldn't have bought that place, but I used that place to buy a quadplex that makes me money. So eventually I'm gonna hold on for dear life. For the next 3 years, and then I'm going to sell that property.
Wow. Yeah. A lot more we could talk about. The last question I have in this segment as we wrap up, there's a lot to real estate, and it can be a scary, scary thing to step into it. How can people learn more about this? Is it something that you can help them with? Is there a resource that you've used that you think that they should check out?
Yeah, so, first, I guess I'll do a shameless plug of definitely follow me on Instagram and YouTube because we are doing educational pieces on a daily and weekly basis, right? So that'll be great for you too. I utilize Bigger Pockets, which is a great real estate forum. And then also just start with Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay.
Right? Start transitioning your mindset of assets versus liabilities.
Yeah.
And then it'll all really snowball from there.
We're going to take a break right here, and when we come back, it's Rapid Fire Questions with Cassidy Burns. There are a lot of things happening at JumbleThink, and we want to keep you in the loop. So what's the best way to stay in touch? Head on over to jumblethink.com. You can sign up for our newsletter there, and you'll also find some magical links that will take you to places like Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Let's be friends there, and let's chase our dreams and ideas together. Now let's jump into rapid fire questions with Cassidy Burns.
Levez seulement le bras pour mettre l'aiguille sur le disque. Mettez le contact.
We are back with Cassidy Burns. All right. It's the tough part of the show. It's rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I am ready.
First question. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A dentist.
Really?
Dentist. Yes. I knew that dentists had power and they made a lot of money. So it was a dentist.
And they can inflict pain to remove pain.
Well, I loved going to the dentist. I did, yeah. Getting your teeth, nothing better than getting your teeth cleaned.
Nice. What is one tip you'd give someone with a big idea or dream and they don't know where to start?
Buy a notebook and write it down.
I love that.
Write it down, explain, try to come up with a business plan of why. Yeah. Why are you, what is this big idea? What can it change? Who is it going to change? And why do you want to do it?
Speaking of change, what is one change you'd like to see in the world?
Well, it goes back to the children. I want lower income children to have more opportunities.
Yeah.
So, and or when I say opportunities, I mean educational pieces. I think that the school systems in certain areas aren't sufficient enough, and there needs to be people like you and I that have this that can help educate them.
Now, I'm going to go a little bit deeper here. You have mentioned working with Boys and Girls Club and some of the other organizations. Was that because you came from a situation where you were overcoming it and you want to help other people? Like, what sparked that for you?
Yeah, it's really because I am a product of the people that I've surrounded myself with, and I am so grateful for that. I had a great mother, and I also had huge role models of when I moved to Washington, D.C. So when I moved to Washington, D.C., I was so green. I had never been I had never been on a metro. I had never seen a homeless person, right? So it's very it was a different thing for me, and I didn't know what I didn't know, right? So, but getting in touch and interacting with people helped me and gave me the opportunity to be on this podcast with you today. So that's I want to give people the opportunity that I had.
Yeah. What do you want your legacy to be?
It goes back to, that's a great question. It goes back to, yes, I want to help children, but also I want to make sure that my family is seeing change for the better.
Where do you find inspiration?
I read a lot.
Okay.
Right? So a lot of books. And again, we're people, right? So we are not always inspired. We're not always motivated. So I read a lot. And that's every book that I pick up changes my mindset just a little bit.
It's a perfect lead in. What's one book every dreamer should read?
The Happiness Equation.
Oh, okay, I've not heard about that.
Yes, The Happiness Equation. So it'll help change your mindset into doing what makes you happy instead of what everybody else thinks that you should do.
For you, how do you define success?
With the people that you've helped and changed, it really, like, money is a tangible item.
Yeah.
Right? You can make it as much as you want, but when you're on your deathbed or when your people are at your funeral, the things that they say about you, if it's nice, if it's good, if they actually cared for you and they say that you cared for others, that's success to me.
What is one trend you are currently excited about?
I love that Amazon HQ came to Washington, D.C.
You're not brokenhearted that New York kicked them out and it fell apart, that deal?
It's. I think it's great for me, though, personally, for the real estate market and doing the sale. So that's something I'm very, very excited about.
What is one habit you find helpful in your own life?
Waking up early.
Okay.
Waking up early. I try to wake up at 5 a.m. every morning. Sometimes if I'm feeling less motivated, I put my alarm clock for 4:59.
Yeah. You don't have kids, do you?
I do not have kids. No, no kids. Just the dog. So that really gets my day going.
What is one thing you wish you would have known when you first started out?
I wish I would have known at the very beginning. It's when you first start your first job. I was like, okay, how can I make the most money possible?
Yeah.
And that held me back a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I repositioned myself to how do I utilize the relationships and start caring about people?
Mm.
And that is going to come back to me tenfold.
Yeah. I remember early on when I started my business, one of the things that was a revelation for me is that if I can't love my customers, if I can't love my clients well, I'm never going to be able to serve them well. Mm. And that for me has been life-changing. I think it's right with what you're saying there. If you weren't doing what you're doing today, what do you think you'd be doing?
Probably, so before I started in real estate, I also got a job at Merrill Lynch as a wealth manager.
Yeah.
And I decided which way. I love numbers. I'm a numbers guy, right? So I write them all down, and you'll see in my little notebook that it's covered. So I would probably be in wealth management.
And our final rapid-fire question is, what is one dream you're still wanting to fulfill in your own life?
Eventually, I want to be a high school football coach.
Okay.
Yeah, so probably when my son is coming to the age that he can play.
Okay.
At least, maybe not the head coach, but I want to maybe coach the wide receivers, which is what position I played in school.
Nice. As we wrap up, we always like to have our guest have the final thought. What is your final thought for all of us listening today?
If you have opportunities, you need to take advantage of them. Mm. And when you do get an opportunity, make sure you pass it on to someone else that may not have it.
Yeah. Super, super cool. Cassidy, yeah. Thanks so much for being on, sharing your story, giving us some insights into the world of real estate, and inspiring a lot of us to take some risks into the future we want to build.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Once again, we want to thank Cassidy for being on today's show. You can check out the episode notes to find links to how you can connect with him. We also want to thank our friends over at PodMax for inviting us to be a part of this event and for hosting so many incredible interviews. You can check them out at podmax.co. And I want to thank you for tuning into today's show. It means the world to me that you would listen to what we're creating. And I really do hope that it's encouraging you on the journey of chasing your ideas and dreams. We believe you were created for something awesome. Whether it's being a teacher or starting the next Fortune 100 corporation, your dreams and ideas matter. You matter. So get out there, dream big, and change the world around you.
Étirez-vous doucement, mais complètement. En avant, en arrière, sur les côtés. Vous êtes une autre personne. Les mères de famille, les enfants, peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant. Dans quelques mois, lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps, vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.